Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Like all practicing veterinarians, I have to log so many hours of continuing education every year in order to keep my license. And even though I spend a lot of time reading and studying behavior from all different perspectives, I tend to use those continuing education opportunities to see what's new in veterinary medical practice. Because, after all, anything that changes physiology changes behavior. When I see these conditions in my patients, and I also see their behavioral problems, this enables me to make connections I might not otherwise. Because of all this, I signed up for a seminar in nutrition. There were several points of interest that I thought were worth sharing. One is that homemade diets and cooking for your dog or cooking for your cat, which used to be just the worst thing, according to some veterinarians, is now accepted. At least the nutritionists at Tufts accept that people do want to cook for their animals, and if they do, they're going to do it. Because of this, they're looking at ways to help ensure that those animals who are getting a homemade diet are getting a well-balanced one too. To that end, there's now a site called Balance It, www.balanceit.com, and I have no connection with these people. All I know is that it was started by a group of board-certified veterinary nutritionists. And on the site, you can buy supplements to add to homemade diets to ensure that they're balanced. There's also a calculator so you can work up a diet of your own for your pet. And if you want, you can also contact them directly, and they'll help you do it. The other thing I knew, but I think it bears repeating, there's a tendency in our society to look at pet food recalls as evidence of how very terrible that particular manufacturer is. We forget that currently there are so many new dog and cat foods coming on the market that it's impossible for anyone to keep up with them. But the one thing to keep in mind when a pet food company does recall some of their food is that they are doing quality control. They are testing their diets. And some of these diets are being recalled before there have been any cases of illness reported. But if you never test your food, if you never test your ingredients, you're never going to have that kind of recall. On the other hand, can wind up with a lot of seriously ill animals before it even registers that there's something wrong. The third thing I learned at this meeting, again with something that is so obvious I should have known, but I've never really thought about it, and that is that ingredients change. Today's chicken is not the same as last year's chicken, and the same with today's beef or lamb. One of our handouts was lists of pet foods that had been analyzed by the staff so that we would know the different elements that were in each one of these foods. Not only fiber, but the kinds of fiber, carbohydrate, protein, calcium, potassium. How much time that might have taken, and right there on the first page it said, these results will hold for approximately the next 8 months. And that's because nutrient quality changes so quickly, and because the maximum and minimum values provide a lot of wiggle room. And maybe that wiggle room, that's fine for an animal who's in good health, but for animals who have kidney problems or heart problems or chronic digestive problems, that's not good enough. We need something more precise. And the last thing, there's been a tremendous flap about raw diets and their safety. And And the reality is that while some people are talking about the safety of these diets and the nutritional value of these diets for animals, this is more a human problem. Every year in this country, we have a larger population of individuals who are immune deficient for one reason or another. Either because of the health problems they have or the medications that they're on for these health problems. That makes them vulnerable to salmonella and other bacteria that may be found in raw food that's improperly handled or improperly stored. And part of the role of the veterinarian is to maintain public health. So I can appreciate why the American Veterinary Medical Association and the American Animal Hospital Association came out against raw diets, because they can pose a health risk to humans and to some animals. That's a tough stand. You know, we live in an either-or society. Everyone wants a concrete answer. And so if we have to err, we'll err on the conservative side and risk irritating some people. That doesn't mean that people can't and won't feed their pets what they want to. They will. And maybe at some point, ways will be found to test those products in the homes where they're being fed to ensure that the strictest policies of cleanliness and sanitation are being followed. But until that day, it's nice to know that there are people who are policing up animal nutrition. It's nice to know that they're getting down to the nitty-gritty that I find mind-boggling. It's nice to know that they understand these formulas and these mathematical calculations that make my eyes glaze. It's nice to know that they're there.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.